Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
You're listening to Tyler Rocky and Brian Hanley. It's Basketball U talking college hoops. Talking college hoops with you on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000.
Big day of Elite Eight action, especially in our city of Chicago. It's Basketball U, Tyler Aki, Brian Hanley, joined in studio by the Field of 68 and Stadium Insider, Jeff Goodman, the best in the business at breaking everything in the college basketball world. And Jeff, I mean, we've got a big game in Chicago. We'll get to some of that in a little bit, but I do want to ask you a little bit more about Duke and the pressure that these kids have had all season long. Have any of the players said anything to you about, like, yeah, it's kind of eaten at me a little bit throughout the course of the season?
I mean, Paolo admitted it when I asked him about it after the game. I mean, he said, listen, yeah, like, we heard it. I mean, how could you not, right? I mean, it was all about Coach K that day, not necessarily all about the game. And I think throughout the season they were okay, and then they started to feel it going into that Carolina game because, again, it was everything. It was ESPN game day. Everybody was talking about it the whole week. I don't, you know, I think they got sort of immune to it when Coach K would go to the you know, road games. They present him with something. I don't think that hit him as hard, but I think it hit him when the world, the college basketball world converged on Durham, in Durham, on Cameron Indoor Stadium that day, you know, earlier the week, and they just laid an egg. They laid an egg, and, you know, I think the biggest thing is somebody had to step forward and kind of be that leader, and they had to grow up after that. And I just remember the one thing I cannot forget, guys, is after the game. So, Kay, you guys remember he came out and he took the microphone and he was like, I apologize. Yep. And his family's like, no.
Yeah.
And he's like, stop, don't interrupt me.
Here it is.
No, please, everyone be quiet. Let me just say, it's unacceptable.
Classic, right? Yeah. Like, classic. And everybody ripped on him because he didn't give Carolina any credit there. But I was looking over. I was straight across from the Duke bench. And I couldn't stop looking. And it was like Theo John, their seventh man, and Paolo and Wendell Moore. And they were, it looked like they had just lost in the NCAA tournament. It looked like they had lost the Final Four game. And they couldn't believe it. You could tell how embarrassed they were. And you just wonder if that is going to help them now, because they got that taste in their mouth of like how bad it could be. I don't want to feel that again. I'm not going to go out that way being embarrassed. And I'm telling you, if they get Carolina again, I think it could be ugly the other way.
How are you going to remember Coach K? Because, you know, I don't know if it's just the success, 13 Final Fours, going for the sixth title, been there forever. You had him berating student media. I mean, we've seen the good and the bad. Yeah. He's a Bobby Knight disciple for whatever that is, but he's the Northwest side of Chicago kid, you know, done great. How are you going to remember him? Because he has, you know, he's polarizing for I guess it's just if you're around long enough, maybe you are.
It's amazing for me because as a young kid getting in, you know, back when I was 25 years old, I was fortunate to start to cover college basketball, got in through recruiting. And I remember saying to myself, I'm not even going to bother trying to get to know Coach K. Like, he was in his 50s then, and I'm like, all right, he's probably got 5-10 more years left. I'm not going to get to know him. And I've been able to do, like, several sit-down one-on-ones with him. Now, we've had our issues, too. Mm-hmm. We've had our issues. He went after me because I've said on the air at ESPN numerous times how much of a recruiting advantage it was that he was coaching USA basketball. And he went after me one time in Vegas at an AU event shortly after that and tried to tell me that wasn't the case. And I just said, I'm like, Mike, and
that's not even a slight, though.
Yeah, that's what I said to him. I said, Mike, you earned it.
Yeah.
You earned it. Like, embrace it. You got Jahlil Okafor, Tyus Jones, and Justice Winslow partially because you got that title because they were in the USA basketball system. I said, I know, and you got to remember, I'm a recruiting guy.
Right.
So I know you brought players over and introduced them to Kevin Durant. I saw it with my own eyes. I know you did a one-hour sit-down with Austin Rivers, which was basically an illegal sit-down, when he was in USA Basketball. So I said, like, don't BS me.
Right.
Like, you're not talking to somebody who doesn't know kind of the AAU scene and those kids. But again, listen, unbelievable coach, has adapted. That's the biggest thing for Kay to me. Mm-hmm. At his age, he has adapted and found out. I mean, think about it. LeBron loves him. LeBron loves him. Like LeBron might send his, you know, kid to Duke just because of Kay, even though Kay's not there. He loves him. All those guys at USA Basketball. Think about how hard it is to get the respect of NBA superstars these days. And a college coach was able to go in there and earn all of their respect. That, to me, says more about Coach K than anything else he's ever done. Because you can get, once you're successful enough, those college kids coming in, you have them.
Yeah.
Right. Like, they're not going to go against Tom Izzo, Bill Self, Coach K. But if you can go in and get the respect and get those NBA guys to play the right way, man, that says a lot about who you are.
Jeff Goodman from the Field of 68 and Stadium. Find his podcast, the Goodman and Hummel podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. All right. So what is the bigger story for you? Okay. I'm not asking you to pick a side. What are you rooting for? But what's the bigger story? Coach K taking on Carolina in the Final Four or Coach K taking on St. Peter's?
I don't know. I mean, honestly, I think you go either way with this. Now, we've seen Coach K Carolina enough. Okay. We've never seen a 15 seed get to the Final Four. We may never see it again. Mm-hmm. So you have the ultimate underdog, Shaheen Holloway, and St. Peter's, a team that didn't even win the regular season in the MAC. That was Rick Pitino, of course, against the GOAT. I would say that's a bigger story to me. Listen, a lot of people are going to say, well, Carolina, they could end his career. I get it. And that would obviously be huge. Carolina Duke in the Final Four. But I don't know. I the GOAT against the 15 seed. Could you pick a bigger David and Goliath story ever? I think that's a bigger story.
And St. Peter's, I mean, they've earned it to get here, right?
Yeah.
And Tyler talked about how they transform, and they still are challenged to score, but they're not turning the ball over. And that defense gave Purdue all could handle and then some. So, and everyone believes Shaheen Holloway's heading to Seton Hall, his alma mater.
As long as they give him enough of this.
Well, they'll give him enough of that.
Yeah. Is that the worst kept secret of the tournament right now?
He was going there even if he didn't beat Kentucky. Like, this
really?
Thing was done before. Yeah, because Kevin Willard was done to Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So this was already basically done. Now, the money obviously has been elevated every win he gets.
Sure.
Seton Hall, it probably started at, you know, $1.5 million. We're probably up to, you know, $2.5 million. I don't know what he's going to get.
Oh, even more than that, I would guess.
I don't know if he'll get three. I don't know if he'll get three.
Is that a danger, though? Because we've seen some, like, is he riding a contract here on the basis of three or four wins?
No, because if you look at this program, and again, I put this out there, it's the worst program, worst job in the MAC.
Mm.
And he's done a good job each year. Right? Like, obviously not to the point where they are now, but it's not like it's a fluke within the MAC. He's been top of the league for the last few years.
And he's going up, like you mentioned, Rick Pitino's in his conference. Right. That's not easy to go toe-to-toe with him every single year.
Yeah, so I think Seton Hall, listen, if I were Maryland and I had a do-over, I'd hire Shaheen Holloway instead of Kevin Willard.
Hmm.
I really would.
Well, yeah, you wonder if some mystery suitor will swoop in, and especially
the Knicks?
Gets in New Orleans.
What do you think, the Knicks?
No,
I saw you tweeting about Frank Vogel.
Lakers, Knicks?
Yeah, no, I mean, but seriously, you know, all of a sudden some AD gets itchy and like, oh, I can top whatever Seton Hall's
Pittsburgh.
Got on the table.
Yeah. Pittsburgh would be the one because they can't pay for Capel to go away right now. Heather liked the AD there. But if all of a sudden, you know, some boosters came to her and said, hey, you know what? If you can get Shaheen Holloway, I'll throw in an extra mil.
Oh, yeah.
Who knows?
Well, you know, and speaking of coaches, we were talking about Jay Wright. And this team doesn't have the talent ahead in 16 and 18. And we'll see how he can do with, unfortunately, it looks like without Justin Moore. But he quietly goes about doing this on a regular basis and doesn't get near the attention or spotlight. And I'm sure that's okay with him and his players. But good Lord, I was saying a few years ago, he was rumored to be think about coming to DePaul, how that would have changed basketball here in Chicago.
Jay Wright?
Yeah, I think his sister was teaching there or something, and he was.
Wow.
But, I mean, it obviously didn't happen. But this guy just quietly, this team is, as Tyler said, they're like robots in a good way, disciplined. And he just tells them what to do, and they go out and do it. And Gillespie doesn't have a great game, that's okay, someone else is going to step up.
they just play the game exactly the way you want them to play the game if you're a head coach. Like you said, they're robots, and they take pride in it. I've talked to Gillespie about this and Jermaine Samuels, you know, and they embrace the fact. When you call them robots,
yeah,
most kids would be offended by it. They actually love it because, again, they don't show any emotion. You don't know if they're up 20 or down 20 during the game. They don't get rattled. They just move the basketball. They turn down a good shot for a great shot every single time. Now, again, they're five deep now.
Yeah.
This is the problem. And I told Jay this actually at the beginning of the year. They played Mohegan Sun, and I asked him, I said, why didn't you go to the portal for another big guy? Because they got one, Eric Dixon. Right. And if he gets in foul trouble, which if they play Kansas, Dixon against McCormick and Lightfoot and Jalen Wilson, yeah, driving the ball, it's going to be tough for him to stay out of foul trouble. I was shocked that he didn't go to the portal for a long athletic big, but they have one transfer on their whole team, and now he's going to be key, which is Caleb Daniels,
yep, yeah,
coming from Tulane.
So, real quick, we'll get you out of here. Jeff Goodman with us for a few more minutes here on ESPN 1000 Basketball U. We're in the state of Illinois here, and obviously there's no more Illinois teams remaining in the tournament right now, but who's going to be the best team in the state of Illinois in 3 to 5 years? Because we've got a new coach.
Chicago State, are they eligible?
Only if they hire Gillian's, Mark Titus, right?
Listen, Gillian's done an awesome job there this yeah year. So,
But between yeah Illinois, yeah, and obviously DePaul has a new head coach, they're getting some top 50 guys into yep their program right now. And a lot of people in the area would love to see them get good again. Northwestern is yeah just what Northwestern
Chris
is right
sounds
now.
Sounds like he's on the clock if I read the AD's remarks
which
correctly.
He is. Yeah, and, right, he should be this
yeah
year.
Yeah.
Like
yeah
this. This is a make or break year for
absolutely
Chris Collins. Like, enough is enough, and I love Chris
everyone
as
does
a guy.
Yeah.
But you gotta get it back at this point.
Yeah.
You gotta get it back. I would say, to me again, Brad Underwood's done a great job there. DePaul's on the uptick, and I could see them being, you know, a fringe tournament team even this year with a portal. Tony Stubblefield's gonna mm-hmm be able to get stuff done that other guys can't. He's obviously got strong Nike ties.
Yep.
That's gonna help him.
Coming from Oregon, yep.
Loyola Chicago. Drew's done an amazing job.
Yeah, I admitted him, yeah, but like, and again, this is yeah sort of the coaching cycle. How long is Drew going to be there, too?
Yeah, probably another year. I mean, honestly, I'd be shocked if somebody listen, all you got to do is look at some of the guys who got high major jobs this year. Lamont Paris wins one NCAA tournament, mm-hmm, okay, from Chattanooga. He gets a head job at South Carolina. We just see Rob Lanier. He 1 year, one tournament at Georgia State, he gets the SMU job. All you got to do is get there once.
Yeah.
Well, Drew already got there.
Yep.
Drew already got there. Can he do it again next year? I don't know. In a new league with a you know, you're going to have to flip it. But again, the good thing is you got momentum. You're going to stay hot. He's young. He's smart. Does he wait for a really good job? A lot of those prime jobs already flipped, and Tom Izzo is not retiring anytime soon.
Listen, you'll be one to break it if he does.
I hope by that point I'll be in.
Your daughter's going to be the one breaking.
Yes, the one who
I hope
it,
she
yeah
can break that one because yeah I think Tom Izzo is honestly, I don't even remember how old he is now, but I could see him going 10 more years. He's
wow
got no hobbies.
Wow.
Unless a doctor tells Tom Izzo he's got to stop, I don't think Tom Izzo stops.
And he's shown that he can still do it.
Yes.
So, Jeff Goodman, Field of 68 in Stadium. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Enjoy the sun here in Chicago.
Oh, it's
pretend it's not
here
22
beautiful
degrees.
Beautiful out here. We're going to head over to the arena and watch what hopefully will be a good game. I think it will. I think Kansas will win. But
I think Miami's going to give them a little something.
Yeah, their like average age is like 36 years old,
yeah,
right?
They're older than Tyler. They're off their parents' insurance already.
Pretty much. Crazy.
All right, Jeff, appreciate you stopping by.
Thanks.
We will be back. We'll get into a little bit more with St. Peter's, UNC, Kansas, Miami. Everything going on today. That is coming up next on Basketball U.
Basketball U on Chicago's home for sports. Get the Basketball U podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Here are your hosts, Tyler Rocky and Brian Hanley.
It's Basketball all you, Elite Eight action today. We had some great games yesterday. We should have a couple more great ones today. UNC St. Peter's. Also, we've got Kansas taking on Miami. That game is here in Chicago, tipping off at 1:20 here from the United Center. Tyler Aki, Brian Hanley here with you. Basketball U every single Sunday of the NCAA tournament. We just had Jeff Goodman on. Great stuff with him. If you missed any of that, go check out the podcast of Basketball U on the ESPN Chicago app. And you search under the additional podcast. You'll see it right there, Basketball U. Let's get into some of today's games, Brian. We'll start with the one local here, the first tip-off of the day, Kansas and Miami. The spread on this one has dipped down to 5.5 now. So if you got it when it came out, I believe it opened at 6.5. It's now down to 5.5. But you've got a Kansas team that, quite frankly, I don't think has played all that great in the tournament so far. We've brought up a number of times, Remy Martin has certainly flipped a switch, but they haven't had the consistent big guy play that we're used to out of Kansas really this entire season. But they're playing solid basketball right now. But if they're at their best, they are the clear-cut favorite to win this whole thing. And they may have to be at their best against a Miami team who's shown that they can beat anything. They went up against Iowa State, one of the three best defenses in the country, and they dropped 70 on them and blew them out. They blew out Auburn, and then they played a narrow game against USC. But if you remember that USC game, Miami was in control of that thing for pretty much the entirety of it and was on the verge of blowing out USC. So Miami is looking like one of the more underrated teams in this tournament right now as a 10 seed.
You mentioned, you know, that the guards are, you know, a lot of those guys are off the parents' insurance. That's how old.
Yeah.
But Charlie Moore, and you've got McGusty, and you got Isaiah Wong, three terrific guards that are doing it. Could you make the case, Tyler Aki, that this is the best defensive team? We talked about how they're St. Peter's without being, you know, America's favorite team now.
Mm-hmm.
With, you know, they're not getting that hoopla, but they're quietly just shutting teams down. I mean, they're holding opponents to 19% threes in Auburn and Iowa State, right? So they're putting the clamps down on these guys. And right now their scramble defense is really giving teams fits. And it may, now conversely, look at Kansas, and Remy Martin is to my way of thinking the best player remaining in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And he's flipped that switch, but it's been going on for a while now. And he's bringing the points, and he's hitting 40% threes. And he's the guy who was that Pac-12 player 2 years running, where he's almost 20 points per game, right?
Right.
And after the knee injury, he's had some stumbles. He ends up at Kansas, and now the way he's playing, you could say, okay, if you have the best player by country mile, you should probably feel pretty good about yourself, right?
Right. And again, this is a Miami team that we talked about it with St. Peter's. We talked about it with all these different point guards that are playing better. We talked about it with Jeff. This is a Miami team that has just locked in defensively. And if this team locks in defensively, they're not a 10 seed. If this team locks in defensively, they're more like a 2 or 3 seed.
Yeah.
Because they have one of the best offenses in the country. They do not turn the ball over. I mean, it's so fun. It's so ironic coming from the football team who prides itself on the turnover chain here. This team doesn't turn the ball over one lick. They're sixth best in the nation in turnover percentage. And they make their free throws, and they're just a good overall shooting team with some guys that have plenty of experience. You brought up McGusty and Moore. They don't really have the big that can bang with you down low, but Sam Wardenberg's a guy who can step out 6'10", and he shoots 42% from three. So they can beat you in a number of different ways. And when the defense is clicking, I mean, listen to these point totals that they've allowed in the NCAA tournament. 66, 61, 56. That's from one of the worst defensive teams in the ACC. And now all of a sudden, here they are a step away from the Final Four.
And you know, you mentioned how they protect the ball and take care of the ball. Remy Martin averaging less than one turnover per game the last five games.
Yeah.
So not only is he lighting it up offensively, it's because he still has the ball in his hands. He's not losing it, you know, and it's not going the other way on you.
And Miami's cannot rebound the basketball either. I mean, they're hovering around like the 300th best team in the country in terms of rebounding. And I just don't think it matters. I don't think it matters when you protect the ball at the clip that they do, because it's all about limiting extra possessions for the other team, right? Well, so you're going to surrender a bunch on the rebounding department, right? But if you're not giving teams fast break opportunities off of these turnovers that you're committing, you're putting yourself in a damn good situation. And that's exactly what Miami has done throughout this NCAA tournament. And they've got a chance today against Kansas. It's a 1-10 matchup, but you've got two great coaches. Jim Larrañaga's trying to take another double-digit seed to the Final Four. If you remember, he was the head coach of George Mason. What was that, 2006? Yeah. When he took them to the Final Four.
He's having fun with Charles Barkley, so
right,
keep
exactly.
your shirt on.
Yeah. How about this? Charles Barkley and Jim Larrañaga. This was a wager that was made. Charles said he was going to take his shirt off if Auburn beat Miami.
Well, to begin with, I was tuned into the games before us, and I listened to Charles Barkley tell the CBS crew that if Auburn won, he would take off his shirt. And I thought to myself, man, no one wants to see that, Chuck. So we did everything possible to make it possible that he wouldn't have to do that.
And that's just the guy he is. He's easygoing, yep. South Beach, Jim Larrañaga. Like, that's who he is.
And you know what? Probably keeps the pressure off his kids with that kind of demeanor, too, right?
Absolutely. And he's got some good ones on his team.
Yeah. And so that's why I give him a shot. It's just this team that no one's really paying attention to, even down in Miami. They're not paying attention to. They're all at the beach. So it's just this team quietly going about its business and playing its best basketball at the right time of year.
So right now, KenPom projects this as a 7-point game in favor of Kansas. Again, that building is going to be, what, 90-95% Jayhawk fans?
Yes.
I wonder if our boss Danny Zetterman is going to be in attendance at the UC.
He better be.
If he's not on vacation, which ironically, I believe he was down in Florida. But
he's in a Miami hotel watching his team. Yeah.
But this, to me, I think of the way that Miami wins this game. Is I think you do, even though that they score at the clip that they do, they play at a pretty slow pace.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can get Kansas to sort of play at your pace because they want to get up and down and run on you, if you can slow down Kansas and you chop down the number of possessions that occur in this game, Miami's going to have a chance.
Which player, not named Remy Martin, do you have to make sure is MIA today if you're Miami's defense?
I think it's really tough to shut down both Remy and Oshai Agbaji. Because, yeah. Like, Oshai Agbaji, I mean, you're talking about a player of the year candidate there, guy who has just continued to develop. I always said with Oshai, every single year watching him at Kansas, I was like, all right, he's going to go to the NBA after this year. And he just never has.
Right.
I mean, I'm talking about all the way back from his freshman season, too. I was like, all right, that guy's got it. He's going to go be a second rounder, but then he'll turn into a developmental piece in the NBA. And he's just going to go because that's what kids do now. They go to the NBA when they're given the chance. I've always said that about him. But I think the one guy, if this guy's killing you, you're done. If you're Miami, it's Christian Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the guy I'm keeping my eye on here because he shoots about 40% from three, and he's sort of their microwave guy where he can put a basketball game away.
So you've got the defense that's holding opponents, last two opponents, to 19% threes, and Brown is the guy who heats it up for Kansas. Something's got to give, right?
Right, and this is a Kansas team that is really good at shooting the three ball, too. They're shooting about 36% on the season, and they're pretty good defensively, too, at holding you from shooting from three. And they're top 25 in three-point defense. I think that's going to be a challenge for Miami. I do think Kansas wins the game, but I think it is going to be a really good one. If you're going to the UC, we'd love to hear from you. 312-332-3776. What are your thoughts on Kansas and Miami if you're on your way to the game right now? But I think it's going to be a great game. I really do. The United Center has been treated to some really good basketball so far in the Sweet 16, and I think they're going to get another one here in the Elite Eight.
There's no pressure on Bill Self, right? I mean, he's there forever, and he's got his 240 hours of private plane time in his contract.
Yep.
I mean, he's not. But he is this guy who often comes up a little bit short, right? Has the great talent year in, year out. The program recruits itself. Likeable enough guy to most people, all that. But doesn't he, I mean, if Miami dispatches him today as good as Miami, as well as Miami's playing, and as much as that program is doing, playing his best basketball this time of year, it's just Bill Self needs to start getting to the Final Four on a more regular basis, right? Which is a difficult thing to do. I know you can sit here and say, oh, yeah, you just got to get to the Final Four. But to me, it's just like, He's always, shucks, and, you know, it doesn't seem like there's any pressure on him because, again, his job's not in the balance or anything else. But it just seems to me that program, not necessarily underachieves, but comes up a little bit short more often than it should.
Yeah, I'm looking right now. They've got one Final Four since 2009. A couple of Elite Eights, a couple Sweet 16s sprinkled in there.
Now, think about all the talent it's had over those years, too.
Yeah, and again, they've had the dark FBI cloud hovering over them a little
Bruce
bit, too.
Bruce Weber made sure everyone was aware of that.
Yeah. I will say this. Little nugget for you here. The last time the United Center hosted an Elite Eight game, it was actually 6 years ago to the day. It involved a 10 seed taking down a 1 seed when Syracuse had the great comeback against Virginia to go to the Final Four. That was 6 years ago to the day. And now we've got a 10 seed with a chance to take down a 1 seed to move to the Final Four. You don't get a lot of 10 versus 1 matchups, let alone in the same building. And for some reason, that building has some magic for some of these upsets. You could see one today if you're heading down to the UC.
Yeah, and speaking about, you know, programs that come up short, but before we get out of here at noon, I'm sure we'll touch on Purdue. Mm-hmm. If not now, when? And that...
Gonzaga, too. That's another. If not now, when?
Yeah. But, I mean, just, you know, Illinois, you're trying to figure out, okay, where do they go from here and who's going to be around? But if you're Matt Painter with this team that had aspirations and almost inked in, especially with the upset of Kentucky early on, I mean, the path was clear to get to New Orleans.
Yep.
And you are sitting down there in West Lafayette going, what the hell happened here? How come we're still not bouncing the basketball?
Right. All right, we've got one more Elite Eight game to get to. It's St. Peter's and UNC. Will the Darlings move on, or can Hubert Davis, in his first season at Carolina, bring the Tar Heels to the Final Four as an 8 seed, believe it or not? Can he do it? That is coming up next. We'll also get to the programs that are coming up short, because we've seen a lot of them, and a lot of them are star-driven. And I've got a little theory I want to drop by you, Brian, so we will do all of that coming up in just a little bit.
Welcome back to Basketball U on Chicago's Home for Sports.
ESPN 1000.
Here are your hosts, Tyler Rocky and Brian Hanley.
Day of the Elite Eights here in Chicago. Tyler Aki, Brian Hanley with you from our first Midwest Bank State Street studios. Don't forget, you can watch the show on Twitch too, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Shout out to all the Twitchers. We love talking with you guys throughout the course of the show. It's Basketball U with you every single Sunday throughout the NCAA tournament. All right, we do have to get to one more game, St. Peter's and UNC, but I do want to get to a tweet from our guy Danny Zetterman, big Jayhawk fan, Jayhawk alum. He says, my Jayhawks are playing to go to the Final Four in Chicago today. I have access to tickets, but refuse to go. I've seen them play in the Elite Eight twice before, and they lost both times. I'm taking one for the team to ensure a victory today. Is my refusal to go the right call or crazy?
He's a mush.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying.
That's what it sounds like.
Okay, whatever it takes, a guy, you know, wherever, Danny. I mean, if you're the bad luck charm, then stay well away from the UC, because you want your Jayhawks to get to New Orleans, and then you go there, right? Then you take that trip down there.
Yeah, you take the show down there, yeah.
There you go. See that?
Down there.
Yeah, now we're talking.
Yeah, Bourbon Street, it's a good time down there.
And one of our tweeters out there, Darren, said his niece is a Kansas alum, glad they had the tourney, but I knew those Kansas people would come here and mess up traffic. Have you noticed the Kansas people messing up traffic?
I have not. I think I've seen more Iowa State people mess up traffic trying to get out of town. I think
that's tractors or what? And then we just had a photo shoot in the middle of State Street in front of the Chick-fil-A and the Medieval Torture Museum. Was that a wedding couple?
Nothing says wedding like a closed Chick-fil-A on a Sunday in the Medieval Torture Museum.
Yeah, and so they have this professional
photographer. A CTA Chevy outside.
Yeah, parked in the middle of the street just because they could. And the woman was kicking her leg up back, and she had the skirt that was slid up all the way.
Heel kick, yeah.
I mean, I don't. If that was a wedding, I'd give it over under in 6 months. But anyway, just whatever you see here on State Street, that great street.
Absolutely. All right, let's get into this St. Peter's and UNC game, because, I mean, do you have this one? Anyone pick this one? Carolina? St. Peter's?
I am a peacock! You gotta let me fly!
So, looking at Carolina here, the 8 seed, and listen, you've kind of been able to tell. We've laid the formula out for you here on Basketball U. with North Carolina, you know if they are winning the basketball game within the first 5 minutes. And that's played out throughout the NCAA tournament, a little less so against UCLA, but you can tell when Carolina is going to win the game. You just can. They're either going to look disinterested from the get-go, or they're going to come out guns a-blazing. They came out guns a-blazing against Marquette and Baylor, and then against UCLA, they hung with them. They hung with a good UCLA team. And here we are. We're looking at a chance for Carolina as an 8 seed in Hubert Davis's first season, when people were ready to kick him out to the curb.
Yep.
And then they close out the regular season with 5 straight wins. But here they are, a chance to get to the Final Four, and you have to beat a 15 seed? This is where Carolina's at right now. This is a really good spot if you're a Tar Heel.
And they're what, 8.5 point favorites?
I believe 8.5. Right now, favorites. KenPom's projecting a 72-64 victory for Carolina.
Ooh. Yeah, and 78% of the money on America's Team St. Peter's. I should feel better that UNC has gotten this point in the tournament after embarrassing Marquette, but I don't, because Marquette did a lot to embarrass themselves in that game. But again, as you mentioned, not only the interest level in the first 5 minutes with UNC, are they making their shots and are they making their threes?
Right.
And believe me, when you take 91 of them and make 37% of them, that goes a long way to giving you a comfort level of winning each and every game and getting in New Orleans. So, yeah, you'll find out if Caleb Love is lighting it up and doing what he did from distance the other night, they should have no problem. I really believe that. But I don't think they can win another game where he has 5 points and falls out, or just is, you know, just a guy or doesn't show up. They need him. They need all hands on deck against his team.
And listen, this St. Peter's team has shut down teams. They've shut down. I mean, you took Kentucky and you out-rebounded them.
Yep.
One of the best rebounding teams with the single best rebounder in the sport in Oscar Tshiebwe. You beat them in overtime. And usually when those games go to overtime, the 15 seed ain't the one winning. And they went out and had a really, really strong performance there. You blew out Murray State. It ended up being 10 points, but you were in control of that game for 40 minutes. And then Purdue, you hung with them, and it kind of had the vibe of, all right, it's cute, it's a nice little run, but the Sweet 16 is usually where the magic runs out for whether it's a team like St. Peter's or even any other 10 seed. That's usually where you see it sort of run out, and lo and behold, here they are with a chance to get to the Final Four, still going and just proving everybody wrong. And I think part of it is just how much sharper they've gotten with the basketball. And what I mean by that is, they turned the ball over. They were outside the top 300 in turnovers. That's awful. That is not a team that has a profile.
There aren't 400 teams in the country.
That's the profile of a team that doesn't win in its first game, let alone get to the Elite Eight like they have right now. And a big reason why is a lot of it was self-inflicted. KenPom has a great statistic, non-steal turnover percentage. So what percent of your turnovers are not
self-inflicted?
Right. Yeah. Are you throwing it out of bounds? Are you traveling? Something of that nature. And theirs for the entirety of the season is 10.1. That's 281st in the country. That is terrible.
Terrible.
But you look at what they've done in the NCAA tournament. How many times do you see them travel? How many times do you see them bounce a ball off a guy's leg out of bounds? Drop a pass here or there. They have gotten so much crisper with the basketball. And that's why they've had the success that they've had so far and have pulled off upset after upset after upset.
You know, when you look at that, the way they won that Purdue game. So Purdue's defense wasn't all that by any stretch of the imagination, but they had the offense, right? They had the bigs, they had the guard, they had the NBA player. Purdue went from 5:17 left on the clock to 25 seconds without a field goal.
Yeah.
And there goes the game, right? I mean, it was like an 8-0 run. And that was mostly because of St. Peter's defense, right?
Right.
Frustrating Purdue. And that says something, because as you mentioned, when Purdue has the clear path to the Final Four and everyone believes that this is their year to at least get to the Final Four, if not win the whole thing, like my bracket had them win, that tells you, that validates yet again that what St. Peter's is doing isn't a flukish thing. It's not a Cinderella story. It's a team that's bought in. Now, do I think it ends today? Yes, I do. Would I be shocked if they're in New Orleans? Not at all. So, you know, does everyone want to see the underdog, the America's beloved team now, St. Peter's, showing up in New Orleans? Because that's what this tournament's supposedly all about. When realistically, this year is the anomaly. Usually you have two or three ones
right.
sitting in the Final Four. As much as you want to pick upsets early on in the tournament, the chalk usually takes over by the time you get to the Sweet 16.
This is a historic upset year. Obviously St. Peter's, but you've also got Miami.
Oh, yeah.
Yet we might end up with four Blue Bloods in the Final Four, which is the most fascinating thing for me is that this league of parity, but you've got an 8 seed in Carolina who's making its run right now. And then you've
got a legacy program.
Right. Yeah. And then you've got Kansas, Villanova, and Duke. Like yeah. Four Blue Bloods right there. I look at St. Peter's, and the one thing that's been so impressive to me is their ability to eliminate the guards. And the guard play. I mean, Jaden Ivey was awful against St. Peter's. He had 6 turnovers, only 9 points, didn't shoot the ball well. He was a non-factor in that game. I know he had the 1-3 late, and he nearly sent the game to overtime, too. But that's a guy who should be leading past St. Peter's. He alone is talented enough to go out and beat a St. Peter's, and he just wasn't there in that game. Something seemed off. He didn't want the ball. And I look at what they did in the first game, too. They didn't have any sort of resistance against Oscar Tshiebwe. He went for 30 and 16. He did what he does. But you shut down Ty Washington and Sevier Wheeler. Carolina, if you shut down Caleb Love and R.J. Davis in this game, all right, what do you have, Brady Manek?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you have, Armando Baycott?
Who's going to beat me? Yeah.
Yeah, and we've seen they beat a team with two really good bigs.
Which
they beat Purdue.
That, yeah, they should be able to handle Baycott, right?
Here's the one thing I'm looking at. How big of a factor can Brady Manek be? Because when he scores in double figures this season, Carolina is 23-5. When he doesn't, they're 4-4. If Brady Manek can get going, and we've seen him be one of these big stories of the tournament too, I mean, he is absolutely beloved in Carolina circles. He to me, is what Cubs fans feel towards Nick Castellanos. That is how North Carolina fans feel about a guy like Brady Manek.
Because he's out there busting his tail.
And he's only going to be there for a short time. He's a grad transfer, so this is it for him. This is his one season in Carolina Blue, but let's say this team gets to the Final Four or maybe even wins the whole thing. When they honor that team, if they ever bring it back and honor them like 10 years down the road as the Final Four team or the team that went to the national championship, Brady Manek's going to get the largest round of applause out of any player, even though he's not the full through and through 4-year Carolina guy, but he is. He's beloved. He's got the people call him the next age Larry Bird in terms of the way he dresses
so
and everything
have a car
like that.
Dealership down he'll have a car dealership down in North Carolina like Larry Bird does in Indiana.
If he wants one, yeah.
Larry Bird Ford or whatever it is, yeah. Yeah, he'll have a barbecue place with his name on it.
Yep, he'll have a sandwich named after him somewhere on Franklin Street. I mean, that's what he is. And you look at what he's done for this Carolina team, he's just been Mr. Consistent. In the games where even they seem out of it, like the games where they do get run out of the gym in the first 5 minutes, he's still busting his ass out there, all 40 minutes that he's out there.
Let me ask you this when we come back. We mentioned Purdue and Illinois, and we may expand the conversation to the Big Ten. Just how good is it that, you know, you're going to lean on the old, oh, well, they beat each other up through the regular season, and that's why they don't have postseason success. I don't buy it, but if you're Matt Painter, what, you know, is disappointing as Illinois fans are, can you imagine being a Purdue fan or Purdue alum? You know, where do you go from here? How do you pick up the pieces? Again, he's not going anywhere, but how do you get back to having a team that everyone's talking about could be in a Final Four, even though this one should have been in the Final Four?
Yeah, we got to talk about the Big Ten, their collapse throughout this tournament, and Gonzaga.
Yep.
Gonzaga's another team where, if not now, when? We're going to dive into all of that. It's Basketball U here on ESPN 1000. Tyler Aki and Brian Hanley. We'll be right back.
This is Basketball U.
On Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Every Sunday of the NCAA tournament, this is your home for College Hoops Talk. Tyler Aki, Brian Hanley with you on Basketball U, 10 to noon every single Sunday throughout the tournament. And if you missed anything from the show, check out the podcast. We had a great interview with Jeff Goodman. That's on the Basketball U podcast. So download the ESPN Chicago app and go to additional podcasts. You'll find the Basketball U podcast with myself and Brian Hanley. And you can hear our conversation with Jeff Goodman. Thank you to Jake Cantu as well for producing today's show. All right, we got to address the Big Ten elephant in the room here. And it's funny, we haven't really had to talk about the Big Ten today because
they're all gone.
They're gone.
They're gone.
Yeah, they're out of town. So this could have been a great day for the Big Ten here in Chicago. You had the potential to have Iowa going up against Wisconsin. That could have been your Elite Eight right now. Instead, you've got Kansas going up against Miami. So the Big Ten, they lead the way with 9 teams. None of them get to the Elite Eight. Only one of them, or rather, I should say 2 of them, get to the Sweet 16. And one of them, a lot of people didn't even think should be in the tournament in Michigan. But what's the deal with the Big Ten right now? Why can't they get over the hump and get to some of these deeper portions of the tournament right now?
Yeah, I'm not buying the old, it's a physical league and the grind and the beatdown of the regular season.
Every league's physical.
Yeah.
Every league's physical.
Absolutely. And now, let's face it, I mean, with the transfer portal and everything else, it's not that these guys are here 1 year. It's not like, you know, they're black and blue division, no, the old no blood, no foul. That mm-hmm. stuff all is out the window, right?
Yeah.
So, and every year in, year out, they get 7, 8, 9 teams into the NCAA tournament. And around the country, people are like, oh, you know, why is that always a given? The minimum 7 Big Ten teams are going. But usually, minimum 7 Big Ten teams are going, right? So, this is more than disappointing. It's almost embarrassing to see them flame out the way they did this year. Now, we talked about Wisconsin and maybe their NIT team without their player of the year. Brad Underwood, I thought, you know, you really had too much talent, and I thought he was rationalizing it when they checked out early in the Big Ten tournament. Said, oh, well, it's okay. We're tired. Again, it's that time of year. We can go down to Champaign, get rejuvenated, be ready to go for the tournament. Not so much, right? I mean, he's trying to rationalize it and put a positive spin on an underachieving story.
And you want to know the funny part about that, too? Let's say St. Peter's pulls off another upset today.
Yeah.
3 teams, if Kansas wins, St. Peter's wins, and obviously Villanova's already through, 3 teams that won their conference tournament are going to be in this Final Four.
Yeah. It means something. You know, the Illini not only blew a seed or two, they blew geography, right? They had to go out east. They could have made it the easiest road possible and had enough talent, I think, arguably, to get to the Final Four, or certainly deeper than they did. But so that, you know, to say, oh, it's not a big deal, it is a big deal. Because teams that get through the tournament usually are playing their best basketball, and it means something to keep the momentum going and everything else. So I wasn't buying that, so he needs to regroup down there. But as disappointing as that early exit was, both from the conference tournament and the NCAA tournament, the Matt Painter thing, I just, in West Lafayette, it's basketball. I mean, you know, as much as the Purdue football team has done much better the last couple of years, it's all about hoops down there, right?
Yeah.
Go back to Gene Cady and everything else. I mean, you used to cover games down there. You couldn't hear yourself think.
Literally. I mean, I've heard people say there is nothing more hopeless than sitting on that opposing bench and watching Purdue get rolling at Mackey.
Absolutely.
Like, there's nothing more hopeless.
The noise reverberates off the roof and comes right back down on top of you, right? I mean, it's a very intimidating place, just like back in Iowa at Carver Hawkeye, you know, that place was a pretty intimidating place for Big Ten opponents to go to as well. So it's all about basketball there. And I don't know how many more of these gut punches that the Purdue fans can take. And would love to hear, you know, from Purdue Nation, you know, what is it about the Big Ten? And what is the talent just not good enough? The coaching not good enough? What is it? Because arguably, you look on paper, it should be good enough to get. When you get 9 in, it's not asking too much to get 1 through, right?
Here's what my biggest issue was this season with the Big Ten. And it happened in the tournament. There was plenty of talent. All right. Talent was not the issue in the Big Ten this season. It was that talent did not show up in the biggest moments. It didn't. Look what happened with Jaden Ivey. He got shut down by a 15 seed. Absolutely shut down. 9 points, 6 turnovers. We brought that up earlier. Look at what happened with Johnny Davis in that final game against Iowa State. He had 17 points, but he also had 4 turnovers, and a lot of those 17 points didn't really come until the end when he was just clawing his way through trying to make something happen. It was too late at that point when he racked up those 17 points. And then look what happened with Keegan Murray, too. They lose in the first round for Iowa. There's just all this talent, and all this NBA lottery caliber talent did not show up in this tournament. And you look across the board at some of these other teams, and I think you could say the same thing about Auburn, too. In the SEC, they floundered just as much as the Big Ten year.
No doubt.
Jabari Smith, and I don't think it's as much Jabari Smith's fault, because for some reason his teammates don't want to give the ball to a guy who's 6'10" and can shoot over the top of anybody.
Now, whose problem is that? Maybe the coach.
That might be on Bruce Pearl.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I just saw a lot of NBA talent that did not show up in this NBA or in this NCAA tournament. They're all going to move on. They're all going to be lottery picks still. But that, to me, that was my biggest issue with it. On the note of Gonzaga, we do have to hit on Gonzaga, because they lose to Arkansas. If not now, when? I mean, I think, and again, I was never a big Gonzaga supporter. I thought it was like, it's a cute little story, the nice team out of Spokane, Washington, for the longest time, until 2 years ago. That's when I started to say, you know what? They're getting these McDonald's All-Americans.
Yep.
They're a legit program now. They brought in Jalen Suggs, and then this past season, they get the number one player in the country in Chet Holmgren. I was like, all right, this is the year that Gonzaga... This is the tide turning here. This is Gonzaga becoming that big boy blue blood program. They just have to win it all, and they didn't this year.
Well, and we talked about last week, the Drew Timmy speech at halftime works one time.
Right.
And then you come out and lay that egg after that. After, you know, you clawed back and won a game you should have won much easier than you did. And I got a new mustache for you, because, you know, you said if Drew Timmy was down at Duke – with the, you know, with the mustache and twirling the mustache and touching the mustache, he'd be the most hated player.
He'd be the most hated player in America.
Now, I don't think he'd be the most hated player, but Doug Eater? Is that a...
Doug Eater.
Yeah, now there's a mustache.
The most recognizable sixth man in all of basketball, really.
I'm a peacock! You gotta let me fly!
That's Doug Eater for you.
That is what you call adult... film mustache quality right there. And they
show the pictures of him without
a mustache.
And Ian Eagle has called every single St. Pete's game so far, and he has just been appalled that they even used that picture.
I know.
And they even have that picture in the files.
It looks
right
like he's
now
13 without the mustache.
And good for him, though, because he's one of those guys who's cashing in right now. I don't
Absolutely.
Know. He got his NIL deal with Buffalo Wild Wings. Like, that's what that stuff is meant to be here. So,
and we should mention our Twitter polls before we get out of here, too, right?
Yeah.
Because one surprise of me, who do you want Duke to face, North Carolina or St. Peter's? Well, everyone apparently not embracing St. Peter's. North Carolina, 53%.
Because they know what's good. They know what's good for the tournament.
And
they know that Coach K, he's going to waltz his way into New Orleans, or into the championship game,
and
if
then
it's St. Pete's.
Who do you want to see? Kansas UNC, 53%. And Kansas St. Peter's, 22%. Miami St. Peter's, 15%. Miami UNC, 10%. So it's
no
all
love
about
for the
blue
ACC.
Bloods. Yeah,
yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, well, that is going to do it for us. Real quick, who do you have today?
I've got Miami plus the points, and wouldn't say an upset's out of the question. And I think St. Peter's, I think Shaheen Holloway will be announced at Seton Hall by Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm with you on the Carolina front. I think Kansas might have... I think the numbers dipped enough for me to where I would like Kansas. So, all right, that's going to do it for us. Thanks to Jake Cantu for producing, and we'll be back next week.
Midwest Bank, a division of Old National Bank, State Street Studio. This is WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago, a good karma.